Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you into another edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, coming your way on a Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, whatever you consider 6 o'clock, I guess Thursday evening. Have you for a full two-hour edition of the program tonight as we take you till 8 o'clock after I get done. The St. Louis City Soccer Report will be rolling your way with Nate Gatter and Jen Cease. So we've got a lot of sports coming up for the next 4 hours tonight right here on KMOX. As always, if you want to join in on the program, you can do so by calling, texting, or tweeting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. We are going to talk with a lot of folks. We've got a jam-packed program. Huge program. One of our favorite people in the world to talk to, Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. Also does a lot of baseball play-by-play at various outlets. He is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Our guy Bob Ramsey, voice of the Billikens, will talk with us at 6:35. We'll get his thoughts on the Josh Schertz era and how it is already starting off with a bang with the various players that have signed with SLU Basketball. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball with him as well. Next hour, a couple guest, Alex Coyle is going to join us. He is the broadcast voice of the Memphis Redbirds. A lot going on right now that I think would be of interest to Cardinals fans in Memphis, starting with Jordan Walker's demotion. We'll talk a little bit about what Jose Fermin has done at Memphis to warrant him being up with the big league club now. What's going on with Michael McGreevy and Gordon Graceffo and Thomas Sejesi and some of those top prospects that are all down there. So Alex is going to join us at about an hour and 10 minutes, 7:20 or so. And then Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBS Sports, will join us at 7:35. Want to go through what has happened with Reggie Bush over the last day or two as he was given his Heisman Trophy back. And the Heisman Trophy was taken away as a result of some violations that occurred with him receiving impermissible benefits when he was at USC. Well, we're living in a different era of college sports now, and not that what he did then is now legal. It's not, but he probably would not have had to do what he did then because there would have been the name, image, likeness route for him to go down. But an interesting decision made by the Heisman Trust to give the Heisman Trophy back to Reggie Bush. So we are going to unpack that coming up at about 7:35 tonight with Dennis Dodd. As always, if you miss anything, you can always find the show archived via the Sports Open Line podcast. You can find that at KMOX.com or on the Odyssey app. Anything Cardinals related that we do on the station, not just on this show, but throughout the station and across the Cardinal Radio Network, you can always find that via the Cardinals at Conversations podcast feed. Also available to you at KMOX.com and via the Odyssey app. off day today for the Cardinals. It has not been the start to the season that fans wanted, but they are also not in a place where they are buried. That's a key thing for me, because going into the season, when we looked at the schedule to start the year and knew that there was a possibility that the Cardinals might have a little bit of a tough start to the season, the idea was to stay in the area of 500, to not get buried in the division, where if they are going to take off, they would still have that opportunity. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's been a good start to the season for the Cardinals. It hasn't. It's 11-14. I don't think it's a terrible start, but it's not a good start. It was good to see them take 2 out of 3 from Arizona. It was good to see them bounce back yesterday after that really, really tough loss on Tuesday night, to see them get a win yesterday. That was all good to see. But obviously, this team needs to play better. This team needs to score more runs. This team needs to win more games. I think there have been positives. I always look at these off days as being kind of mile marker points. So where is this team at right now? What is the identity of this team as we stand at 6:13 p.m. on Thursday, April 25th? It's a team that's not hitting anywhere near where they need to hit. It's a team where big name, middle of the order bats are not producing the way you need big name, middle of the order bats to produce. Most notably, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Although I always put an asterisk on Arenado because he's hitting for average and he's driving in runs right now. He's not hitting for power, not hitting home runs, not hitting doubles. He's become more of a singles hitter. I don't know if that's just what he's turned into later on in his career, if the power is still going to unlock at some point this year. But I'm hesitant to be too critical of Nolan Arenado when he is a guy who's been hitting with runners on, and he has been driving in runs. And when you've got a team that has had a really, really hard time scoring runs, looking at the guy who's been driving in runs, even if he's doing it in a different kind of way than what we're used to in his career, that's not the first thing that I want to be critical of. I'm generally happy with the starting pitching. And I think you specifically look at what they've gotten out of Sonny Gray, who has been nothing short of fantastic. Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, for the most part, are giving you a chance to win. Steven Matz has been more good than bad, although starts like 2 days ago, certainly are not fantastic. I think Miles Michaelis is actually the guy. He's basically got one pretty good start this year. He's been the guy who is probably been the least consistent, or the guy who's least given you the opportunity to win games. But I'm mostly fine with that group. I think they're doing their job for the most part. And I've been very pleased with what the bullpen has done. Look, there's games that get out of control and you deploy your bullpen resources in a certain way. But I judge bullpens off the ability that when you are leading going into the seventh inning, can your group of high leverage guys come in and lock it down? If that is happening, then I think you have a good bullpen. And the Cardinals have that. So it's not all bad. There's some good things there. They're 3 games under .500. They're 5.5 games back in the division. Not numbers that are good, not numbers that you like, but also numbers and positioning that you can fix, that you can do something about. If the big if, it will continue to be, if this team was hitting, Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about this the other day. If this team was hitting, specifically, if Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado were doing what they are expected to do, do they have 3 more wins? Is their record reversed? Are they 14-11 instead of 11-14? Probably. And if they're 14-11, they're right in the middle of the division. They're within a couple games of first place. I think the feeling is very different. So it would not take that much of a turnaround to feel different about this team. But right now, they're 3 games under .500 at 11-14. We'll take a break, and when we return, we are set to be joined by our guy, Mike Farron, MLB analyst with MLB Network Radio. Also does a fair amount of college baseball play-by-play. We'll talk with him coming up in just a moment. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice, KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Off night for the Cardinals. They get back at it coming up tomorrow. They'll open up a six-game trip that will start with three games in New York against the Mets. Miles Michaelis on the mound coming up tomorrow. Right now, we're going to head to the Quiver River Electric guest line, bring in one of our favorite folks out there. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. He's doing college baseball play-by-play all over the place. He is our good friend Mike Farrin on Twitter at Mike_Ferrin. Mike, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you taking some time with us. Let's start with Cardinals. So you, from afar, as you see what this team has done so far this year at 11-14, how would you evaluate them and maybe the struggles that we've seen from them from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, right, is that the offense has not been particularly good. And, you know, listen, I think we had questions about the starting rotation, and those have largely come to fruition. I think we all liked the bullpen, liked the potential of it. The bullpen's been pretty good overall. I think the offense was maybe where there was the most variability in the way people felt about it. I thought they had a chance to be pretty solid. I know last year wasn't as good as maybe they had anticipated, or certainly they were in 2022. But you know, I thought that there was a chance that they were going to kind of take another step forward. And so far that hasn't been the case. And some of it's injuries, you know, obviously not having having Edman and then, you know, Dylan Carlson going down impacted the depth. And, you know, and it's just guys getting off to slow starts, right? Paul Goldschmidt really, you know, he looked better as the Diamondback series went on, but he has struggled. And, you know, Nolan Gorman's off to a slow start. So, like, it's a combination of things. But really, I think it's, you know, like, if they're going to have success, it's going to have to be – the bullpen's going to have to be great still, and the offense is going to have to perk back up. And I think it's an open question as to how much better they can get offensively.
Paul Goldschmidt is the guy that has struggled and has the highest expectations of players who have struggled. What should the confidence level be for fans who are watching this, hoping that he's going to be able to find his stroke?
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first time that Paul Goldschmidt's had a rotten April. I mean, in fact, I remember back when I was working for the Diamondbacks, there was a year, I want to say it was 2018, maybe. It was 2018. He got off to a really terrible start and didn't really get locked in until, I would say, the middle of May. And then for the next 3 months, he was one of the best hitters in the league. And so, you know, listen, he's been through it before. He is as diligent a worker as you will find. I think, you know, one thing we have to wonder is, because the ravages of time come for us all, I know I feel that every day, you know, if some of the physical skill has eroded, and certainly that's probably the case, but probably not enough that it would impact him being, you know, a long-term problem. I think in the end, you'll look up and Goldschmidt's numbers will probably be pretty similar to what he put up last year, which are short of what he did in his MVP season, but still pretty darn good. And I think there's a good bet just based on his track record and how good a player he is that he ends up being a really solid offensive performer at first base. I'm not going to be the first person to bet against Paul Goldschmidt. Let's put it that way.
The Cardinals have had a hard time developing high-end talent in recent years, and we just saw Jordan Walker get sent down. And Walker's a young guy. Young guys get sent down. This is not the first time this has happened in baseball history, but for a guy who was expected to be a middle-of-the-order run producer, how startling is it that for a second straight year he has to be returned to AAA?
Well, I think it's the last two guys that they've had that have been really hyped offensively have not, to this point, lived up to those expectations, because I think you take Walker and Dylan Carlson into that mix, right? I think some of high-end talent is acquiring, you know, top-of-the-draft-type players, and the Cardinals this year will be picking a lot closer to the top of the draft than they have in a long time. I think what they have, the seventh pick. So, it's kind of a strange draft. There's not a whole lot of middle-of-the-field players, but there's some very good college bats in it, and so I think that's probably part of it. And I think the other thing is, to your point, like, not everybody develops the same, and there are probably a couple of adjustments that Walker still needs to make, that it's easier to do outside the limelight in AAA than it is to do at the big league level. And, if there's the offense is struggling and he is struggling too, it puts probably some undue pressure on him. So I don't mind the conservative course of action with him and sending him out, and just hope that he gets it figured out, because, he's a really talented guy. What we saw in the second half last year felt like that was who he could be. And I think that's still there. It's just they got off to a slow start. And quite frankly, they have, some pretty significant needs to be better offensively. Now, that said, they've talked about how Burleson's swinging the bat. The results haven't been great for Alec Burleson to this point. Lars Nootbaar coming back is certainly going to help them. But I think that there's still some questions about what Walker's ultimate ceiling is. But I think, he certainly is. It's easier to work on outside of the spotlight. And I will say this, that, like, as poor as his start has been, Mason Wynn was not expected to be much of an offensive threat, and he's been dynamite offensively. He's been one of their best offensive players to this point. That's another player that they drafted and developed.
When we talk about Jordan Walker, we specifically talk about the fact that he's not getting the ball in the air. And fans will be listening, and they hear people say launch angle, and they just turn off the radio or just turn, all of a sudden that's one of those terms that a certain group of fans don't want to hear. But isn't there value in getting a guy swing right? So if he does make hard contact, like a Walker can, that there's actually going to be production because of how it's coming off the bat.
Yeah, I think, to that point, I think there are a lot of former player analysts who made launch angle a dirty word without understanding what launch angle actually was. There is no such thing as a launch angle swing. That doesn't really exist. Mm-hmm. Every ball in play has launch angle to it, even ones that are hit on the ground. It's just that those launch angles are negative, right? It's a measurement. Now, to your point, yes, Walker is a guy who is going to benefit more from hitting the ball in the air. Because he has prodigious power, and we know that the highest slugging percentage comes on fly balls that are hit to the pull side. Now, he has the power to be able to go the other way as well, but getting the ball off the ground is going to be key for, a guy that's not really a burner. He's got to get the ball up in the air. But a lot of that ends up getting talked about in bat path and launch angle. And I would bet you dimes to donuts, and I have not talked to any of the Cardinals coaching staff about this, but I have a feeling a lot of it has to do with timing. And generally, when you are on time on the fastball, you hit hard line drives, which are balls in the air, and you hit them to the pull side if you're just a little bit early. And that's what I think you're looking for Walker. So, I don't know that it's necessarily something that's data-driven or that it's, anything other than the dude hasn't been able to barrel up fastballs right now. And at some point he's going to, and we saw that more as last year went on. And the other thing is that there's a fair amount of research that shows that young players don't hit the ball in the air as consistently as old players do. And so, I think part of it is just the natural learning curve and progression of somebody like Jordan Walker.
Who do you like right now in the NL Central? Because it really doesn't feel like any team is that much better than any other team.
Well, there's three teams that I think have played really well. Surprisingly well overall. Milwaukee is the biggest surprise, right? I don't think we expected them to have this robust in offense, and that was a very good comeback win down twice today to Pittsburgh. You know, listen, the Cubs are going to be very curious to see what happens here over the next couple of weeks. No Suzuki, no Bellinger is going to put a dent in that offense, but they catch the ball, and their starters have been better, I think, than anticipated, in part because Shota Imanaga has been excellent. So I think they're interesting, and I really like that Reds team. I mean, I think, you know, think about this. The Reds are off to this start without the guys that we felt like were maybe their two most important offensive players, not named Ellie De La Cruz, right? TJ Friedl, who broke his wrist in spring training, although should be back at some point early in May. And Matt McClain, their second baseman, who's really kind of their team leader, and I think talking to people around the Reds, they feel like he's kind of their most important guy. He may not be back until, like, August. So what the Reds have done so far is pretty impressive. I think their pitching is in much better shape than it was at any point a year ago. I think they have a really intriguing bullpen. I think both Fernando Cruz and Alexis Diaz are two of the more underrated relievers in the league. So I think there's three teams there that really feel like they have a chance at the top of that division. And, you know, Pittsburgh is lurking, and I'm not sure how good the Pirates are going to be, but I know if I were an opposing team or worked for an opposing team, I would dread the days that I had to face Jared Jones.
Yeah.
And with the idea that Paul Skeens is coming, I think they're going to pitch pretty well. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get him.
He is Mike Farron. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. Does a fantastic job there every day. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Always a pleasure, man. Take care.
All right, that's Mike Farron joining us. Up next, we'll be joined by Bob Ramsey. We'll talk Cardinals baseball and a little SLU hoops with him. It's an exciting time right now for SLU basketball. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We do continue on here on a Thursday night. No Cardinals baseball. It's an off day in New York for the club. Tomorrow they open up a three-game series against the Mets. That's going to begin a six-game homestand. As we do welcome you back into the program. A lot of positive momentum right now for St. Louis University Billikens basketball. It all started with the hiring of Coach Josh Schertz. And since then, a number of players, a staff has been put together, just a lot of really good things happening. And no better person to talk to about that than the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey. He joins us on the program. Rammer, appreciate your time. How are you?
Matt, it's great to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I am doing good. It's great to hear your voice as well. And we can't wait to hear some points scored from Robbie Avila and Isaiah Swope coming up next season, and some post-game and pre-game interviews with Josh Schertz. Just from 10,000 feet above, how do you evaluate what's happened with SLU really since the moment Josh Schertz was hired?
Man, it's gone really fast.
Yeah.
From essentially having no players to all of a sudden, it seems like, you have nine players all with excellent to exciting, potentially, resumes and abilities, and you can start to see how they kind of fit together. It's really, I know Josh has been working on it for some time and his staff, but as you said, on the outside looking in, it's going really fast.
What does it say that he was able to retain a Gibson Jimerson? Because when coaching changes happen and you've got a guy who's been around for a place for a while, like, it feels like 99% of the time those guys want to get an opportunity to go experience something different, and that's not happening here.
Yeah, you know, with Gibson, with Kellen Thames, and with Larry Hughes II, you got three guys, two of them St. Louisans, obviously. So that's a little bit of a factor. And Gibson Jimerson wanted to stay another year, and he could have gone. And I don't have I can't give you any numbers, but more than theoretically could have made, you know, significant NIL money at other places at Power Five schools, and elected to stay, I think, part because of his love for SLU, and I think developed a relationship very quickly with Coach Schertz and his staff. And it sure didn't hurt that Corey Tate stayed around. So I think all of these factors sort of played into it.
Can you speak just to the impact of a Corey Tate? He's obviously known as a great recruiter from the area, has accomplished so much in his career. What does it mean for this program to still have him around?
Well, I think with any great program, including on the professional side, continuity is often an overlooked factor in a program, a team having sustained success. And so, as you point out, Corey's ties, not just locally, I think sometimes we don't give Corey Tate enough credit for his national and international recruiting ability and the fact that he's a hell of a basketball coach. He had great success at the junior college level as a head coach. The man can coach. Mm-hmm. But I think his greatest skill, those are his people skills. And being able to relate to athletes and young people and to be able to work with them and get the best out of them. I think that is often very much overlooked. And I think Josh made a great decision keeping Corey on.
It certainly helps to have a star on any roster. And you look at a Robbie Avila, and this is somebody who absolutely is a star. He's known from a national perspective. When you look at him and compare what he did at Indiana State in the Shirts offense and think about what he's going to look like as a Billiken, what can fans expect?
Well, I can't offer anything that fans haven't already seen. And whether they follow the Missouri Valley Conference or whether they most recently watched that terrific run in the NIT by Indiana State, we've seen what they can do. And I think what's interesting is how does that translate to the Atlantic 10? Well, pretty similar levels for those two leagues. And then we've seen a school in particular, like Richmond, who runs a Princeton offense, does a lot of high post stuff, running their offense through post players out high. I think we've seen the kind of success they can have. So I think those are the kind of things you can reasonably expect out of Robbie and what Coach Schertz wants to do with his offense. Now, to say I know much more about it than that would be a lie. With so much work to do, when I talked to Coach Church, what has that been 2 weeks now since we had Coach on KMOX that one Thursday evening?
Yeah, 2 weeks, I think, today.
2 weeks ago, I told him, you know, we talked for about 20 minutes after the show, and I said, Coach, I can't wait to come see you and your guys work out, but I'm going to leave you alone for about 6 weeks because you've got so much to do. So when June rolls around and there's team workouts, that's when I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get in there and see if I can figure out how it all fits together here at St. Louis U for Coach Schertz and his system and his people. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For folks who haven't been paying attention, the players that we've already mentioned, but also Isaiah Swope, another one of his former players, Josiah Doetzler coming in, Creighton transfer, A.J. Casey is coming in. I believe he's a Miami transfer.
Miami.
He's brought in a lot of players in a very short amount of time. There's still work to do on the roster, but how much better do you think the roster is right now compared to what it was last season?
That is a question I haven't thought of. I really thought the roster was pretty good. You had you were three deep in centers who could all contribute. You know, you had a veteran presence and people like Terrence Hargrove Jr. You know, you thought you had kind of a point guard tandem that was going to work. Injuries and inexperience sort of conspired at that spot against the Billikens, and some other things went wrong. So I don't want to denigrate that roster. I thought it was a good one. But ultimately, you're judged on wins and losses. And so no matter what I thought of the ability and the people on that roster, reality is it was a losing season and a change was made. So this roster, though, I think has certain pieces that are going to fit what Coach Schertz wants to do. Is he going to try and find another point guard to back up the people he has? Does he need another athletic forward? Maybe. maybe one more true backup big, maybe. I don't know. He hasn't let me know about those things. But I think that there appears to be the kind of balance that will allow him to do the things he wants to do. And because he's going to shoot a lot of threes, his team's going to shoot a lot of threes, maybe another pure shooter will be found. That's all speculation on my part. We have not had that kind of conversation.
Before we get you out of here and encourage folks to check out your Daily Cards Live that you do with Joe Roderick over at Klabes Online, what's your concern level right now for the Cardinals who have gone off to a somewhat slow start?
Offense.
Yeah.
Can you hit? Can you not chase stats? Can you find ways to find guys that are hot to get them to maximize when they're hot and to understand you can move guys around that have cooled off and maybe not put them in key spots. But the key for a manager and those who help create the numbers to help him put his lineups and his roster, well, he doesn't really do the roster, but his lineups together and look at the matchups, don't chase the stats. Try and be a little proactive, and that sometimes takes the eye test. You know, it looks like, and this is fingers crossed, looks like, you know, people like Goldie are kind of coming out of that early season funk. And while it was a bold move, but one I advocated moving him down, now is it time to move him back where you like him when he's going good? It seems like Goldie's going good. I think Mason Wynn has been not been utilized when other guys were cold. But on the other hand, his averages slipped just a little bit. So have you already missed that window? Again, don't chase the stats. Put guys in position and understand what's hot and what's not. And I think that's a key to try and get this thing going.
I wonder if you said missed the window. That's such a great way to say it. I wonder if they've kind of missed the window with Ivan Herrera, because if you look at what he's been doing recently, he's not hitting.
You and I are thinking exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I still think there's opportunities to get him going. Anytime there's a left-handed pitcher, unless there's some unusual reverse a splits kind of thing, but anytime there's a lefty, he should be in there and allowing Contreras to DH. So things like that. But this is stuff Ollie knows. I mean, he's got more information at his fingertips than me and you and anybody else in the media, all of us put together. But I do think that's more of a philosophy to take advantage of people. Now, if everybody's hitting to their expectation, then, and I'm borrowing from our friend Bernie Miklas, if everybody's really doing what they're supposed to, the lineup almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But when you need to sort of nurture it and help it along to be effective, that's the time when a manager can really step in and have his influence and presence felt.
He is Bob Ramsey. We can't wait to hear him and Earl Austin Jr. back on the call of Billikens basketball next year here on KMOX. It's going to be so exciting. Might be the toughest ticket to get in town if things continue to go the way they're going right now. Rammer, always appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
See you later, my friend. Enjoyed it.
All right, very good. That's Bob Ramsey joining us. We'll take a break and wrap up hour number one of the program in just a moment. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We've got a jam-packed hour number two, as we are going to be joined by Alex Coyle, Memphis Redbirds broadcaster. We'll talk with him about the Jordan Walker situation and a handful of other things going on at AAA right now that could impact the Cardinals, and also what to expect out of Jose Fermin, who had a great start to the season at AAA and is now with the big league club. And also Dennis Dodd is going to join us. I didn't realize until today that Dennis Dodd is a native St. Louisan. He now lives, I believe, in the Kansas City area, but he's still a big Cardinals fan and a big Blues fan. We do talk a little Cardinals baseball with him, but mostly college football, specifically to the Reggie Bush situation, where he is getting his Heisman Trophy back after he lost it years ago. So that's all going to be coming up in the second hour of the program. And then when we wrap up today, the St. Louis City Soccer Report will be coming your way with Nate Gatter and Jen Cease. They're going to be with you this evening right here on KMOX. Cardinals off today. They get back at it tomorrow. I do think that in some ways, these next couple weeks for the Cardinals are very important. Not to say that if they continue to kind of tread water like they're doing right now, and I think they are basically doing that. They win a series, they lose a series, they're in the neighborhood of 500. That's kind of my definition of treading water. If you're three games under 500, to me, that's the neighborhood of 500. And I know that's not the goal. Don't take my words and try to twist them. That's not the goal. But if you play 500 baseball for the first 2 months of the season, that's fine. It gives you the opportunity to eventually get things going. So that's why if it continues the way it's continuing right now, it's not the end of the world. But I do think if we're going to sit here and tell you that the club needs to be prepared for maybe a slow start to the season because of the opponents that they're playing, then if we're being fair, we should also be saying the club needs to go surge when they play the not-so-tough portion of the schedule. And you look at the games coming up, the Mets have been okay this year. Detroit's probably been a little bit better than you expected, but they're kind of an okay team. The White Sox have been horrible. You've got another series of the Brewers coming up. You've got a series of the Angels and the Red Sox coming up. There's a lot of winnable games here into the mid part of May. It's important that they win a bunch of them. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.